Greet you all in the precious name of Christ this morning. It's hard to believe that the week's almost gone. It's almost done. It's almost over. As I thought about that, I've made some friends. I have seen some brothers, been able to speak into their life. They've spoken into mine. And this morning, I am rejoicing because God is good. How many of you here this morning really believe that God is good? And what does His goodness do? It leads us to repentance, doesn't it? When we see the goodness of the Lord, our hearts are repentive for the sin that lives within us so many times. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. The Lord seemed to bring me to the point of the church this morning. I eat, I drink, and I sleep the church. I'm excited about the church in our present day culture, the time that I live in. And I believe God has called the church for such a time as this. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What is the value of weight? What is the value of weight? Now, weight used in the right perspective is very valuable. And I'm going to tell you a little story this morning. I trust my wife doesn't care, but this took place a number of years ago. It was on a cold, cold day, and we had had about a foot of snow, and over the top of that snow, I do believe, we had a little bit of rain, and so there was what you call a nice ice crust across the snow. Now, when I left the house that morning, I needed to put on a little extra weight because I think it was close to zero. And I don't think you guys down here understand what zero is all about. And so I put on a big pair of boots. I put on my work shoes. I put on a pair of coveralls. And I pulled on a stocking cap. And I had some big gloves on. Well, my job for that morning was to go get a load of pigs. And so I drove to the place. I picked up the pigs. And they were about 50 pounds. So I bring them home and I back a truck up to the coop, and I'm a-chucking these pigs into the coop, you know, and all of a sudden, zoom, one went through my hands, he lit out across that field, and there was only one thing in my mind. This, you know, I paid for this pig, I've got to get him. And so I lit off out across that field, and I had these big boots on, and this pig was pretty lightweight, and so he just skimmed across the top. And I'm laboring after this pig, and it's going, crunch, 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 crunch. And behind me, I hear this encouragement. Catch him if you can. You'll never guess where that came from. Huh? And so I begin to race that much harder. You know, I can't lose my manly image. I can't be defeated. And I'm racing after this pig. And so we head straight down to Neighbor Joe's, right down across the field. And I'm running and running and running. All at once, this pig takes a left-hand turn. And so I follow him. And we lived on a road that was called Bacon. And this pig makes a left-hand turn. And it gets into its right lane. And it heads back home down on Bacon Road. And so again, I hear a word of encouragement. Bacon chasing bacon on bacon. And I've got to get this pig. And so I run and I run and I run. Finally, the pig makes a dive into a fence and I caught him. And I remember my lungs were just burning. Now, I would have loved nothing more than to begin getting rid of weight. I'd have loved for the coveralls to go on, the boots to go on. And I'd have loved to got right down there where I could really run. You know what, brothers and sisters? That's a story that demonstrates something. We walk around in our life and we pile on the weight and we lay it on. You ever seen Pilgrim's Progress? Oh, what a beautiful picture when that pilgrim comes to the foot of the cross and that weight rolls away. But you know what happens so often? We pick it back up, don't we? And we put that weight on our shoulder. Would you try to run a race this morning with a 100-pound gunny sack of feed strapped on your back? Let me ask you a question. If you were so foolish to do that, would you think you would win the race? No, absolutely not. But how is it How is it that so many times in the life of the church, we pile on the weight? Oh, we want the church to be victorious, don't we? We want that church to be powerful. We want that church to be full of the glory of the Lord. And we want it to triumphantly stand and the gates of hell not to prevail against it. But what do? We pile on the weight. I just detest these comments. And I'm going to reveal my identity. I've not kept much back from you this week, okay? What you see is what you get. I mean, I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. But I detest these comments. That church never done anything for me. Well, I go to that church and no one ever talks to me. Well, it's the most unfriendly church that I ever walked into. Those people there, they're just a bunch of snobs. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you a weight or an asset to the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you a weight or are you an asset? Have you focused on the race that is set before you to run it, to win? Is that where we are? Are you focused? Are you in this race to really win? I'd like to read you something this morning before I go to the church. And we're kind of going to shift modes here this morning. You know, I've been speaking a lot of negative things. And sometimes we must approach the negative to get to the positive, right? Sometimes we got to get to the negative to get to the positive. This morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm going to ask you some real personal questions here this morning. I'll let you answer those to the Lord. A million years from now, wherever I find myself, did it really or does it really matter or will it really matter at that point if I held that grudge against so-and-so? Let me ask you a personal question this morning. What is the value of a grudge? Anyone? Nothing. Then why do we carry them? Feels good, doesn't it? Feels like I have the upper hand on brother so-and-so because, you know, I've got this grudge and I have the ability to control him. Like these little remote cars, you know, you stand back with the little controller and the car's running out over there. Well, I get this feeling that brother so-and-so is running out over here, and because I hold a grudge against him, I can tweak him, I can turn him, I can do with that guy whatever I choose. You see? What's the value of anger? Many people walk around, they're so angry, they're just filled up with anger. What's the value of bitterness? Huh? What's the value of a spirit that strives? The church says, okay, we've come to a conclusion. We want to do this. We believe that the Lord led us to, wait a minute, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I don't see it that way. Therefore, if you as a church decide that's what you're going to do, I won't support that. I can't support that. I'm just going to sit right here and I'm going to bind you up. You see? You see what I'm trying to say? And sometimes we lose our focus of what the church is really all about. In your heart this morning, simply tell the Lord what you think the church is about. In your heart this morning, simply tell the Lord what you really believe the church is about. One quick conclusion that I come to every time I think about that is this. The Church of Jesus Christ is not about me. The Church of Jesus Christ is about the authority of Christ in the church. The church is about bringing in souls. The church is about making disciples. The church is about sending out. It's about a river of living water that flows. You see? And so many times we get this concept, okay, this is my church. I have an attachment to this church, and therefore I have the authority to speak into this church, and I have the authority to bind this church. Brothers and sisters, notice what Hebrews 12 is saying. Let us lay aside every weight And this morning, brother or sister, if you are a part of this local body, and you are carrying about a weight, you will be the loser that will lose the race, because the church of Jesus Christ is going on triumphant. And those that are focused and have the vision of getting rid of the weight to win the race. I watch some of these guys that run in some of these races, and I'm going to be there. Now, this is a personal opinion, okay? I can't take you to the Word of God and tell you, thus saith the Lord. But I wish they'd put on just a little more clothes, okay? Some of these guys are down to the point where, wow, how can this be, especially in public? You know, but they bring themselves down to the point where there is virtually nothing to restrict them. But you know the exciting part about this race in the church? We can all win. We can all win. In a 27-mile marathon, there is but one winner. And I don't care if it's a 40-meter, what it is, there's but one winner. In the life of this race, we can all win. But, brothers and sisters, we've got to get rid of the weight. Something that I learned in my own physical body since I left the schoolroom is this. It feels good to get rid of the weight. I'm working at getting rid of some of this weight. You know, it's easier to climb that 40-foot ladder and you go up and down that thing all day long and carry on and you don't walk around like, ooh, 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 you know. I got too much weight. And there's where many of us are in the church today. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we've lost the focus and are losing the focus of what the church is all about. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's about the power and authority of all that in our lives. And it brings us to crucifixion, does it not? Brings us to crucifixion. But we so readily, we pile on the weight. Oh, it's my job to carry this weight. Oh, now I got to put this one on. Oh, I need another one. And pretty soon we're just down here. We're trying to stand and we can't. And then all of a sudden we say, well, it's the church's fault. It's because what the church done that I am the way I... Hold it. Let's stop right there. If you choose to leave the presence of Jesus Christ and authority of Him in your lives, don't blame the church. Don't blame the church. It's a little like I said the other night. If you want to keep your children from the church, talk bad about the church. Tell your children how bad the church is. Tell the children what awful people live there and go there. Often hear this common, and I chuckle about this, often hear this common response. Ask somebody, are you born again? You born again? We'll be talking, come to that point. And they'll say, many times they'll say, oh, I go to church. Or they'll say, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Well, why don't you go to church? Oh, there's hypocrites there. I tell them, well, you know what? That's the only place you're going to find hypocrites. They don't live in the world. That's the only place you're going to find them. But don't use that as an excuse. It's not about the church. About going to church. It's about being born again. And so if we can get that focus, brothers and sisters, here this morning, that the church is about your individual life where you are with this race with Jesus Christ. You know what? This here this morning is a celebration of where you've been through the week. We've come together to celebrate and to talk about the great things that God is doing. We've come together to praise His name, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and say, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is everything. See, we didn't come here to put on the weight and say, oh, this morning I'm going to church. Now, brother so-and-so, he's going to be there and I got to show him I have a dislike for him. See? That's not what the church is about. It says, let us lay aside every weight which does of the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Brothers and sisters, you may say this morning, I don't have to choose whether I run that race or whether I do. You've already made your choice. You have already made your choice. It says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. then why are we looking unto man to make comparisons among ourselves and to wind up being bound with a weight that is so heavy we can't move? Hebrews 12 tells us we are to look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of this race. Jesus Christ holds the authority to your life and to your future. The question is, how are you going to and what will you do with Jesus Christ? Remember Pilate? And here was Christ on the judgment scene, and they were crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said, What has this man done? I find no fault in him. Away with him," they said. And then Pilate said, "What will I do with Jesus?" This morning, that's a personal question. What will you do with Jesus Christ? What will we do with Christ? What are you going to do with Christ in your life? Sometimes I've watched young mothers, oh, bless their hearts. I love them young mothers, to watch them and as they're growing in motherhood. Sometimes the baby for the first time is born and that young mother picks up that baby like, "What do I do now? Oh, I have this precious bundle." And then the father kind of awkwardly picks up this child and he's trying to decide, how do I hold this squirming little thing? So he looks at this child. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we approach the race that is set before us and we say, "What will I do now? What do I do now?" Looking unto Jesus, let's look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of this race. Of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us. Notice what happened to Christ. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. But he humbled himself. And I would feel pretty safe in saying, now there again, this is an opinion. I can't take you to the Word of God and say it. But I would say, in most cases, in the conflict of the church across the Western culture, it's the awful sin of pride. The awful sin of pride. You can't tell me what to do. I don't have to listen to you. Well, brother, you have sin in your life, and I'm coming to you, and I'm speaking into your heart in love because I care. You can't tell me what to do. Who are you anyway to come to me? Look at all the things. And by the way, brothers, if somebody comes to you in accountability in the church and is so loving to come to you because they see something in your life, don't start picking up the stones. Let the stones in the driveway. They're made to drive over. They're not made to pick up and throw. See? That brother or that sister came because they love you. They really care. In a little bit, I want to take us to the book of Acts. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A picture, brothers and sisters, this morning. It's a mental picture of where we're at in life. It's the church. The church is moving on. Am I going on with the church of Jesus Christ, or have I made a decision not to go on with the church? We often say, what was it about that early church that was so extremely powerful? What was it? Well, I'd like to show you this morning for just a little bit. By the way, what time do I need to shut it down? Well, you may be here all day, brother. I would like to show you this morning why that church was powerful. You know, it was the excitement that Jesus was here physically. And Jesus spoke into their lives. Jesus taught them. He told them of the things that they must do. And he also lived by example to show them what's going to happen when you come up against this thing called the world. By the way, why are we so easily set back when we face opposition? Do we not believe we'll face opposition? I'll tell you what, brother, sister. When I walk out in the morning, I know there's going to be opposition. The question is, am I connected to deal with the opposition as God would have me to deal with it? And so here's what happens. We get this real gushy feeling, brother, that the church is this place where nothing ever goes wrong. Am I right? Huh? Is that? No. Oh, hey, here's a man that's real. No. Listen. If I look for a perfect church today, and should I find that perfect church, and Brother Denny goes there, it no longer is perfect because I have just walked through the door. Sometimes this guy is more like a bulldozer that doesn't think with his head, but he's got one thing in mind. Hit the throttle, full tilt ahead. See? You see? That's what happens. And so we elevate ourselves quickly in pride and we say, I've got to find a perfect church because now I have attained. I am this spiritual giant, this spiritual type of being that needs that perfect church. Boy, are you ready for a kick of the feet. And boy, are you going to hit the deck in a heartbeat. And then after you know, I always told my children and people around me when they stumble and they fell, oh, get up, here, let me help you, let's get up. Picking yourself up after you've fallen does what? It strengthens your muscles. See? You grow. And this whole thing of the sin of spiritual pride. Wow! I am amazed how we set ourselves up for defeat. And we elevate ourselves and we think, boy, now I'm spiritual. I have already attained. I've got it together. In other words, I'm there. And I quickly look over. And I begin to compare myself with my fellow man. And I think, this poor guy is wallowing and struggling. And he just can't seem to get it together. I made a comment back home at church the other morning. And I'm dealing with a man who spent 10 years in the penitentiary. And I won't go into the details of his life, but it was awful. I believe in my heart to disciple this man because he's expressing the desire to know Jesus Christ. Some people will make this statement. It's like dumping water down a rat hole. It's like dumping water down the rat hole. And I made a statement. I said I was sharing what happened to this man. All of a sudden, somebody shows up on his doorstep with a 9mm pistol. He was going to kill somebody. He was going to hurt somebody. And this guy just went frantic. I can't report that to the law, he said, because if I do, I'm on probation and the law's going to come back. They're going to take me back. And he was just talking so fast over that phone. He said, Pastor Denny, he always calls me Pastor Denny. He said, Pastor Denny, what'll I do? Well, I said, let's stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Let's stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Well, I was sharing some of this in the church, and a brother very piously, he walks by as I'm sharing this, and he said, well, sounds just like him. Those are the things that are going to befall him, see? Wow. Where are we? How far have we declined? D.L. Moody put it well when he said, when he seen the drunkard in the gutter, he said, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, this boggles my mind. It seems like we never learn, do we? The fact remains that man never learns. You know, we have any kind of history we want to choose from throughout this book called the Bible. And if we would willingly observe that, we should never make another mistake in our life, should we? We should never make another mistake in our life. It's there. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's there for our learning, doesn't it? So if I observe, if I am a learner, I'll take notice to what that Bible says. In the book of Acts, these men were excited. Peter is the point here and he preaches a powerful message. And there's a cry in verse 37 of the second chapter of Acts, and it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This morning, I'm going to challenge you to something. If God speaks into your heart and pricks your heart this morning, ask the Lord, what shall I do? And then when God gives the answer, live it. Live it. live this answer. See? They said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they, let's take note, if you want a powerful church, if you want the church to be powerful, take note what happened. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now notice the action of their life. Boy, this is going to touch some sore spots. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. This morning, Shiloh Mennonite. Do we have all things common? Are we unified in spirit? Are we unified in spirit? Now, what would you say this morning if the Lord spoke into your heart? And he said, I want you to sell everything that you have and everything that you own, and I want you to distribute it to the necessity of the saints. Could you do it? Don't say yes before you think about it. I've often said this in the life of the church. The hardest thing to deal with is a man's wallet and his children. A man's wallet and his children. Remember the young man that came to Christ and he said, oh, he was boasting, kind of boasting. He said, I've kept all your commandments from my youth. And so Christ began to name the commandments. Oh, yeah, I got that one right. I got that one right. And then he stands and he says, now, Jesus, what do I lack? I've got it together. What do I lack? Jesus said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Come, follow me. I am amazed at the extra baggage of wealth that hangs on to our people. I am amazed that I see these people observing people dying before their very eyes for the lack of food, for the lack of health reasons. And their hand does this. It's mine. I deserve. Listen, brother, this morning, you deserve death, and so do I. The wages of sin is death. By the way, sin pays wages. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There's where we want to go this morning. We want to go to life eternal. And as God speaks into your heart, simply obey. Simply obey. Why would I own 5 and 6 and 7 different houses? I can only live in one at a time. Why? Why? You see, we've bought into a secular concept, I believe. That it's all right to labor hard, to labor hard, to labor hard. And while I labor hard, if there's a brother or sister in the church gets in my way with the destination and the vision I have for finances, and he needs help, he's a problem. If he'd learn how to manage his money, you know, he'd have money. This guy will never learn. He's always going to be broke. He's always going to be poor. And the church is always going to have to help. How come is it always the same family? Do you ever hear them remarks? See? Why is it always the same people? Well, if you love that brother. Just recently, in our church, a brother gave an illustration of a man who had a dairy farm. And I'll tell you what, you don't get up on a dairy farm and go to milk at 12 o'clock in the day. It just doesn't happen, or you won't be in business very long. And this brother in the church that fellowshipped with him, this guy had an awful time of getting out of bed. You know what he done? He didn't criticize that brother, but he said, I'll commit to go to that brother's house at 4:30 every morning until I have that brother motivated to rise at 4:30 to do his milking. And so very faithfully, this brother, he gets up in the morning and he goes over to his place and he says, okay, brother, time to get out of bed. Good morning. We're going to milk the cows. And so to the barn they go. And this process went on, I think he said, for like 3 months. That brother stands now and he points that brother out in the congregation and he says, it's because you, brother, that I am where I am today. If you would have not loved me, if you would have not spoken into my life, if you would have not come to my aid, I'd never be where I am today. But you see what happens? We lay on the weight. We draw the weight down. We don't want all things common. We want a spirit that is individualistic. And I want to put the claims on that. That is my pad. Those are my sheep. That's my hay equipment. That farm belongs to me, and I'll tell you why. I labored hard to pay for that thing, and now it belongs to me. And don't you dare and try to intrude. You see, we live that kind of principle. Whereas, look at these brothers. They sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? I just get all excited. When can we start? Have any idea? Is there a proposal? When can we start? I say start this morning. Let's start this morning. This morning, let's sell the possessions that so easily hold us back. Oh, I've got to put in 60 hours a day. I just have to because I have to pay taxes on all this stuff. You know, I got my income tax. And this year, I'm going to have to pay $30,000 or $40,000 of income tax. I really got to stay at it. I got to stay at it. So the mission board calls and says, hey, we're having a work project in Jamaica. Could you give us 3 or 4 days of your time? Well, I ain't got time for that. I mean, I got taxes to pay. I got to do this. See? Had a brother in a church one time. Inevitably, when there was a work day, he would call me and he would say, Brother Denny, will you go in my place and I will pay you for going? Imagine that. There's something, the bear in me just growled. How can you do this? What's the matter with you going? Oh, we have a need. Somebody from this church should go. Somebody's got to go. Will you go? Oh, don't ask me. No. What do you think? Don't ask me. It's not me. I don't have that calling. Wait a minute. Are we not in the race for all to win? Are we not in the race for all to win? Sold their possessions, their goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And then notice what they done. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. In the temple. They continued daily. They didn't do it Monday and then they done it Sunday. They done it daily. They continued in the temple, one accord, breaking bread from house to house. You see? Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I want to ask you a personal question this morning in closing. What does it mean to have a single heart? What are we talking about here? In singleness of heart. You know what, brothers and sisters, this morning, our hearts are so polluted with plural claims in our heart. It blows you away. A single heart is set to the race for the goal. The singleness of that heart is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And in the singleness of that heart, we are filled with the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, we're sold out. This morning, as you fellowship with this group of believers in this local body, are you sold out for whatever Jesus Christ brings in your heart to do? Now, be careful. Be careful. The Bible says it's better not to make a commitment than to make the commitment and break it. You see? If you're going to commit this morning in singleness of heart, you are sold out for the cause of the church of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. But then be ready. Be ready. Because God is going to speak into your heart for you to do some things. Oh God, I can't sell that farm. I can't sell that farm. No, don't ask me to sell that. My 1924 Model T. No, Lord, it's the only one that was ever made like this. Don't ask me to sell that. And God is saying, but brother so-and-so, over here we have a brother in the church that has a need. He has a need. Will you sell? Will you sell? Will you sell? You see, brothers and sisters, we must sell. We must sell if the church triumphant shall stand. And I'm not advocating here this morning that you all go home and you sell everything that you have. After all, God has called some people to labor. You see, to labor. It's a gift. But if you really watch those brothers with that gift, you know what they do? They hold that stuff so loosely in the hand at any moment they can tip it over and it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Those are the brothers that God has called to labor intently, to have, to give, to give, to give. Now God is calling each one of us. God is speaking into our heart in these last days. And with singleness of heart, we must run this race. We must run this race. A plural heart will never enter heaven. A plural heart will never enter heaven. The Bible tells us, light and darkness can't be in the same room. If you were to walk into this room this morning, and this would be totally dark, when you hit that light switch, what happens to the darkness? It's got to go. It's got to go. Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the reality of the truth of that word. Oh, bless your word this morning as we serve you in singleness of heart. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak into our hearts again this morning to get rid of the weight that holds us down, that keeps us back, that destroys our destination. Oh, Father, in thy name, we pray, committing it to you. Hold back the forces of evil that would try to deceive us and to teach us that it is ours. Lord, as a believer, a surrendered servant of yours, I have no rights this morning. I have been bought with a price. I am sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Bless your word in Christ's precious name. Amen.